of self, filled with your spirit, that you might speak, thus saith the Lord, that would be things said that you once said, that you would speak to the hearts and lives of your people as only you can. And may you use your word, may you be your will done, may you have full reign here tonight in our lives in a special way. Again, we pray for our pastor and family as they're back ministering there. We pray to their family. God, I pray that you would just bless them there especially. Be with the Reyes' family as their son continue to battle with his fever. Pray you bless him in a special way as well. And again, as we gather here in this place, we pray that you would have liberty to do what you would desire to do. And we'll be careful tonight now to praise you and to thank you for all that you've done and for what you're going to do. We ask these things now in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. And again tonight, I pray that this area will be, again, a blessing to you. Just want to go back over just briefly some things that we had talked about continuing. As we looked at this area and Peter is writing to us, he's been talking about submission that needs to take place in the Christian life. And submission is one of those things that I believe is hard for Christians to do, but God is telling us or showing us that submission is a thing that we need to do. And I want to go back and cover all of it, but we talked about it being submission to the authority in our lives. We talked about being submissive to the bosses that are in our lives. We talked about how he comes here in chapter 3 and he says, likewise, your wives be in subjection to your own home. Husband, in other words, be in submission to him. We talked about those things about submission here. At the wife's part is an obligation on her part, but it's an opportunity on her part to witness. She ought to be an ornament to her family and in such a way that it is precious the way that she's been treated. Her family and her husband being in submission to him. In other words, being under the authority that's there because it is pleasing to God for her to submit herself. And also he says, likewise is the husband. And he has a responsibility as well to dwell with her according to knowledge. In other words, he is to, we talked about it being cooperation. And then we talked about it being consideration because she ought to be cooperative in the home. And he ought to consider her in the home. And the submission there will help both in the family. And not only that, but will keep the prayers from being hindered. And God can bless them. And the grace of life, because I believe that it not only affects their relationship, but their relationship affects their children as well, as we looked at that. And then we came down here finally talking about, as Peter is writing, now he's coming to a final conclusion here. Says, now, we talked about all of these things, but finally, let me get to some things here that I believe that all of us need to be aware of when it comes to being in submission. We need to be in submission to God in such a way, even when we are going through things in our life, we still need to be submissive because that is the time that God can be honored in our lives. Let me show you why. Just a couple of verses that I want us to go back and look at. Turn back, if you would, to chapter number 2 of this same area and look at verse number 9. He says, but ye are, chapter 2 and verse 9, he says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who have called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in times past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Look at that verse and then consider that. But look also in verse number 21. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did not sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Look at verse number 9, of chapter number 3, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but counterwise blessings, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. In other words, God is saying our behavior ought to be in such a way because we are called. We are a chosen generation. We are royal priesthood. He's given us an example who went through all that he went through, but yet he still showed his submission to his Father as he went to the cross and he died on the cross for us. He was submitting himself to the will of God, even when he was being mistreated and what was being done to him. And I believe tonight that one of the hardest things for us as Christians, when we're going through some tough times and we feel like that somebody is mistreating us, it's hard for us to be in submission to God when we feel like people are wronging us. Amen?
Amen.
And if we just be honest with ourselves, it's one of the hardest things to do. But this is the time that Peter is writing, look, finally, let me get to some things that you need to be aware of. He wants us to love people, and he wants us to love not only God's people, but he wants us to love our enemies as well. And that's one of the hardest things for us to submit to when it comes to people mistreating us. And the greatest example that we can find in Scripture is Jesus Christ himself. He did no wrong. There was no guile found in him. There was nothing that he should have been treated the way he was and accused the way that he was. But he did it to be an example to us. But now that we're saved, we're called out here, as Peter is talking about, that we should love God's people. And I want us to think about it this way, that we ought to love life. Amen. Let me ask you a question, and I'm kind of getting ahead of myself, but I want to ask this question, and then we're going to answer it for you. I want you to tell me, what do you think it means when the Bible tells us that we ought to love life? Yes, Jeremiah. You raise your hand. Live life like you love it. I like that one. Anybody else? What does it mean to you when it says to love life and see good days, is what I should have said. To love life and see good days, what does it mean to you? Rose? Amen. It is a gift, and we don't have to be here, but because it is a gift to us, life is a gift to us, that we ought to love life so that we can what? See good days. Amen. Anybody else want to take a stab at it? Nobody does? I want to put somebody on. No, I want to put somebody on the spot. But to love life and see good days. You know, most of us, when we think about loving life and seeing good days, we think it's good and we love life because everything goes well and everything goes right. But you know, that's not what loving life is. And that's not what seeing good days is. See, good days are not necessarily when everything goes the way that we want it to go. But we should have an attitude that something similar to what Rose just said, we should still love life even in spite of that. Because you got to think about it this way. If my attitude towards life and seeing good days and realize it, that God is allowing some things to happen in my life, I can still love life because God hasn't changed. He's still good in spite of what's going on in my life. And the good days come with some trials in our lives. They come with some testing because God is allowing it to happen. And they are still good days because God is still good. And I want us to see that tonight. And I kind of got ahead of myself. I'm going to come back to it. But I want us to see that Peter is writing here. He's telling us now, finally, we're going to get to some things that I want to show you that you ought to do, even though you're going through some hard times. And we talked about this preparation that has happened. He's telling us here, as we talked about it last time, I want us to think about the preparation that took place. He's telling us we ought to love God, love life, and love our enemy, because that is one of the most difficult things for us to do when it comes to loving our enemy. We can do it three ways, as we said in the past. We can return evil for good, which is return evil for evil, because that is the satanic level, and that's not what God would want. We can return good for good and evil for evil, and that's the human level where we talked about last time when we talked about it, because that's sometimes how we, if somebody treat us right, then we'll treat them right. If they don't treat us right, then we won't treat them right. But that's not what God would have us to do. But when we think about it on the divine level, we can return good for evil, which is the divine level, because even in spite of how they treat us, we still ought to love people and love God, and we ought to love life when it comes to it. Amen. So Peter reminds us of this calling that we have. We are a called out group of people, and our behavior ought to be that in such a way that he's reminding us of that, that God wants us to love our enemy even in spite of the way that they treat us. And I wanted to say it again tonight. Loving life is a deliberate decision. Amen. It's something that we deliberately do because we're going to love somebody or love life even in spite of what happens to us. Is a good, still a good reason to love life, because we don't have to be here. God could take us home, but he hasn't chose to do that. And we ought to love life even in spite of some of the things that we're going to. We're going to get ridiculed on our job. And here's the other thing that Peter is saying. You know what? It's just beginning. It is a day-by-day process. It's not so much the trials that we go through, but it's the day-by-day things that happen in our lives that we got to deal with every day. There's going to always be a challenge in life. Anybody cut you off today? Yeah, you drive long enough today, somebody's going to cut you off, amen? Or somebody says something that you could have misunderstood what they said, or you didn't like the way they said it, or you didn't like the way the tone that they said. How many of you ever go to the cash register to check out, and you checking out, and the lady throw you your change? How many of y'all like that? Those are just the little things that can happen to you, or you're on your way to church and the tire goes flat. How about this one, ladies? You're on your way to church and the baby decides to spit up and throw up all over everything, and you got to go back to the house. Amen? Or you ride your wife on a motorcycle and you take her out and scare her to death. Those things happen, people. And it's how we handle those things that I believe that Peter is talking about. Even in spite of those things that happen, our response and attitude in it ought to be debt of God honoring and not returning evil for evil or railing for railing. It's what he's talking about here. And it's a deliberate decision and it's a direct decision. We must do good and hate evil, but yet we ought to respond in such a way that is pleasing to God. And then we looked at the particulars here of submission. We looked at the preparation. We looked at the particulars of it. And we want to pick it up here tonight as we looked at those things that we talked about here. And we left off talking about this laundry list of things that Peter gave us here in this area about some things that we need to do. When we think about those things that we need to do in our everyday life, he gives us a list of some particular things that we need to be aware of that's going to help us in our Christian life, that we can behave in a particular way that is pleasing to God because we have a calling on our lives and we ought to act out these things in such a way, again, that is pleasing to God. Look at verse number 8. He says, finally, be all ye all of one mind, having compassion one for another. And we looked at what the word compassion meant, compassion or be of one mind. In other words, he ought to have this concord. It's like a orchestra that's playing. We all have a different tune. We all make a different sound, but we ought to be in harmony together. We ought to be of the same mind and we ought to be cooperating. In other words, we ought to be like a symphony orchestra. Everyone playing a different instrument, but it ought to make a sweet music. Amen. When we think about it, we are of the same mind. We talked about compassion. Having compassion means that we will quickly discover that it's a hard to rejoice with somebody sometimes when they're rejoicing than it is to weep when somebody's weeping. What are we talking about there? You ever get to the point sometimes when you see and it seems like God is just blessing in somebody else's life and it don't seem like he's blessing in yours? And most of us may have problems. Some may have a problem with rejoicing because we see it happening in somebody else's life because it's not happening in ours. But we still ought to rejoice that God is doing a great thing in somebody else's life. Amen. And we ought to weep with them when they're weeping, but we ought to still have joy when they're having some great things happen in our lives. And it may not seem like it, but you know, that's happening in our life. But you know what? Really, we're still blessed of God. Because everything is not having good days when everything is going right. And that's why I wanted to lay that foundation so you would see that. But that's not always what happened. We talk about charity here in 1 Peter 3 and verse 8. He says, not only that have compassion, but have love one for another. We ought to love the brethren in such a way that we're willing to put their needs and their preferences before ours. And that is hard to do sometimes. We ought to consider what somebody else would want more than we do our own sometimes. And we ought to have this love for them that we want to see them have some things in their lives and love our brethren and show their preferences for other believers. How about this word pitiful in verse number 8? It has the idea here. Love the brethren. Be pitiful. Pitiful means to be tenderhearted towards somebody. It's the opposite of being cruel and hard-hearted, which makes up for much of how the world treats people today. We can be just like that sometimes if we're not careful as Christians. We can be uncaring about other people and not take the time because we can be so caught up in what we want to do, what we got our mindset to do, that a lot of times we miss out on opportunities to care for other people. How about courteous? He says, be courteous. This word means that to stop pushing and shoving in line in a checkout store. Sometimes we can go there and we can't wait for the, I know I do it and I'm guilty of it. My wife will tell you that I'm guilty of it. You ever go to the checkout line and the guy that's, or the woman or the guy that's checking you out is talking to everybody in the line. And you're like, come on, get these people through here so I can get my stuff and get out of there. Because that's how we do sometimes. And we're not courteous towards other people. And sometimes we get so caught up in wanting to get out of there, we forget to be courteous to people that are in line with us. And you know what? That's not becoming of a Christian. And sometimes we can have opportunity to witness and be a blessing to other people, but we're so caught up in what we want to do that we don't even take the time to do that. And it's an everyday thing. It's something that we have to work at and concentrate on doing, because it's not always easy to do, because we're always out to get done what we want to get done. So Peter, again, is laying out some things. He says, finally, now I want to get to some things that you need to be considerate in doing. But he says that we need to stop doing that. It would cut down on road rage. Amen. Somebody's out there driving too slow in the slow lane. I know we all do it, right, David? You're out on the highway. I'm just picking on David because I know he drives all the time. You out there and you trying to get where you're going, and then you see this person swaying across the road, and they kind of sway back a little bit. They may not get on the line, but they kind of swaying across, and then they slow down and they kind of speed up, and you behind them, you're like, I got to get to work, I got to get to church, I got this to do. And then you pass them and you look, they on the cell phone. I remember with Teresa and I think it happened on this trip that we were going, and we was in Atlanta, and we saw this person. I don't know what had happened, but the lady was driving, and you know how people give you the one finger up and the other one's down? Amen? And they were driving along, and this other lady in front of us, she slowed her down. In other words, she took her car and kind of made that lady slow down. The lady tried to pull off on the off-ramp. She pulled off right behind her. And I know that's road rage, folks, because we could see it happening because we're looking right at it. And they weren't being nice and courteous to each other. But those things happen because, again, they are day-to-day things that happen. But we as Christians, we got to be aware of that. So he tells us, instead of being like that, sometimes the world shames the church and how it shows common courtesy than we do sometimes as members. Sometimes we can be in such a hurry. Somebody break down along the road. We ain't got time to stop and help them. But we ought to consider that. I know Pastor was texting me about the other night when they were going home, and they had an opportunity to stop and be a witness and a testimony to a young lady whose car broke down alongside the road. But a lot of times, if we be honest with ourselves as Christians, folks, we don't take the time to do that. But we should. But we should do it. Communication. He's telling us not countering. How we counter this behavior? Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing that we see in verse 9. That's how we ought to behave. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing. But counterwise blessings, knowing that that ye are here to call, that ye should inherit a blessing. We're going to be blessed of God if we would perform these kind of acts in our Christian life. God is going to bless us. It's the greatest thing that, I don't know if you know, in your Christian life, it's not so much that you receive a blessing, but you be a blessing. Because if you be a blessing, you're going to receive a blessing. You receive a blessing for being a blessing to somebody. And it ought to be that of the Christian life. It ought to be that way, doing that. A rage is not a Christian deed, if you didn't know that. Rendering evil for evil refers to the action. Railing for railing refers to the words that we use. And sometimes we want to use words, and it may not be a bad word, but it's with the idea and the context in which we use it and the attitude that we have when we use it. That's just as bad as anything you could ever do when it comes to being a Christian. And again, what are we talking about? We're talking showing forth those things whereunto you are called. We're talking about the day-to-day things that happen in the Christian life that Peter is writing to us here about that we ought to consider. He says, go on here now. And he talks about here in verse number 10. Look at what verse 10 says. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. In other words, our communication here, let him refrain his tongue. In other words, he needs to exhibit or exalt his tongue and his behavior. And that's one of the hardest things for us to do sometimes, is to refrain our tongue from saying things that we ought not say. But we need to refrain from it, because if you don't have anything good to say, sometimes it's best not to say anything at all. But then sometimes when you do that, you're still speaking loud than your words say. Amen? Amen. So we got to make sure that we ain't got a frown on our face when we say nothing, because you're still saying something if you make those kind of frowns on your face when you don't say anything. Amen. So those are the daily things that he's talking about, how we ought to behave as Christians when it comes to communication. Refrain from bad speech. Beguile means to speak blasphemy or to speak need and to stop and examine from our mouth what we're saying, because the Bible says, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what's on the inside is going to come out when you speak. So we need to be careful about what we say, but we ought to be putting in the right things in it, so when it comes out, it's said the right way in the right context. Because if you're not spending time in the Word of God and allowing the Word of God to saturate your life and to saturate your heart, you're not going to be putting in the things that need to go in so that the right things will come out. And a lot of Christians, we struggle with that. That's why it's so important to spend time with God every day. Because when we don't, you know what easily comes out? It's what the flesh wants to say and the actions that the flesh wants to take and the point that the flesh wants to make. But the Spirit of God wants to be in control. If y'all heard me say it before, when the door of opportunity knocks and something happens in your life, who's going to answer the door? Are you going to answer it in the flesh, or is it going to be answered in the Spirit? Because you're going to answer the door one way or the other. Whatever the knock is, you're going to respond, and or you're going to react. A lot of times when we react to a situation, we don't do it in a dignified and Christian way. It's when we respond, we have an opportunity to respond in a way that's pleasing to God, and it might accomplish something in our lives. And I'm guilty of it as well. I'm just going to be honest with you. And I believe all of us have a problem with it. And that's why Peter is addressing it in such a way that he's reminding of us, these are some daily things that we need to do in the Christian life. It's going to be a blessing. And we're going to receive a blessing because we are a blessing. It's easy to do it when we're amongst Christian people. Sometimes it's hard for us to Christians to do it when we're amongst Christian people. Amen. And even more so when we're out in the world, or we might call it the world, on our job, in our families, or even sometimes in our home. Because I don't think it's by accident that he talks about the home and then he comes to these things as well. Because it ought to take place, first of all, it ought to take place in the home if it doesn't take place anywhere else. Because if we carry it out in the home, I believe it'll carry over into our adult life. It'll carry over into our lives every day. And the best place to practice it is at home. But it's probably sometimes the hardest place to do it. But it needs to be done as well. Amen? Amen. Y'all with me so far? Amen? So here again are some things that Peter is reminding me of that I need to do in my Christian life. So he's telling us here the idea of doing that. And when we refrain our tongue, the results of a good tongue or the good things that we say is going to be a blessing to the one that spoke it, but it's going to be more of a blessing to the one that's listening and then the one that hears it. Notice what he says also in verse number 11. It talks about, here we talked about communication, but talk about cleanliness. Isu evil. The word isu means to shun or to avoid evil. Literally, it means to learn to lean, or literally lean away from something. Our society is interested in leaning towards it and avoiding and to not avoid its laws and pass laws to encourage such things as abortion. You know, when the world can't get its way, the lawmakers or those that are in charge, you know what they do? If they can't get it the way that they want it, then they want to make a law and make it legal. You know why they legalize abortion? Because it's ungodly. We want everybody to have their way. And then you don't have to answer to God, so we just make it a law. It's okay to do it. Now we done made drugs illegal. You can buy all the marijuana you want to. It may be something that can help you physically because they've legalized it. How about this? We want to set up where anybody can go to any bathroom they want to go to. Y'all heard about that as well, amen? That's just as ungodly as it could be. You know what? It ain't hard to check out and know what you are when you get born, amen? I don't think it's hard to determine. I don't think we need to let Johnny or Sue figure out what they are when we raise them to what they are when they're born, with what they have. Amen? So we want to do the lawmakers will make a law for it, make it legal so it'll be okay. Y'all can just go in whatever bathroom you want to go in. I don't know about you, but I don't want my daughter to be in there with some pervert who walks in there and call himself whatever he wants to be, because somebody going to go in there who ain't what they say they ought to be in the alternate lifestyle. And it may be male or female, but that's what they do. Amen. That's another message in itself. Serge will talk about that on Sunday. Amen. Here he's talking about this here. It's so evil. Gambling, we want to make it legal. So if they can't control and make the, I don't want you to make no profit, so we make it legal so the government can tax it and get money out of it. If you want to gamble and play the lottery and do all those things, I'll make it legal so we can get some money out of it. And that's what the government does. But in the eyes of God, it's still wrong. And especially, as Brother Fred talked about this morning, especially for the Christian. Amen. We could spend more time there. Look at what he says also in verse 11. Do good. In other words, our character ought to be a high quality conduct here. And it's also beneficiary, or the beneficiariness of it, of our conduct. The believer's conduct should be the highest character of all that are beneficial of it. In other words, what we do when nobody's looking ought to be the same as what we do when somebody is looking. Amen. And that would be a good character. That ought to be integrity, ought to be one of those things when we think about the Christian character, is to do good. In verse number 11 that he's talking about, calm. In other words, he said we ought to seek peace and ensue it. One of the essentials of seeking peace is that, first of all, we need to have peace with God so that we can be at peace with God. But we need to be at peace with each other so that we can have genuine fellowship with each other. When we're not at peace with each other, we can't have fellowship with God. When we're not even at peace at home with our husband and wives, there's no peace between us. We can't really be at peace with anybody else. We can come in with a show on our face, but in our hearts, we're not where we ought to be. And it's just as bad. There's no good, no benefit in that. That's not pleasing to God. You know, when I think about it, one of the things that nobody can get away from, you know what God tells us? That we ought to love our enemies. So we got an enemy. Then nobody else. If he's telling us to love our enemies, we ought to love everybody else. We ought not have any enemies. But we may have some. And the worst thing that we could do is not love each other as Christian. Because one day y'all may not like me. You may not want to see me. You may not want to hear me. But you know, one day if you know Christ as Savior, you're going to be with me in heaven. And I'm going to be with you. So we might as well just start getting along right now. Amen. If we're going to sing together and glorify God and sing praises to him, I'm going to be in the right tune, because it's going to be my solo. Y'all going to hear, you know. Amen. So we want to be right with God. Even now, we want to do it and be right with him. So we're talking about here these things, again, that Paul is talking about. We ought to ensue it. In other words, we ought to seek peace. And sue it has the idea that we ought to be in pursuit of it. In other words, we got to put forth some effort to make that happen. It's not just going to happen. We need to put forth some effort and some energy into it if we're going to do this thing that he's talking about here as we look at these things that Paul is talking about. I mean, not Paul. Every time I keep saying it, we won't say Paul, but we're talking about Peter. Amen. So we see it here about obtaining peace and ensue it. We got to put forth some energy. But here's what I want us to see tonight about here. One of these little areas, I'm kind of taking a rabbit trail, but I want us to look at here something. The path of the believer, or the path of submission. We looked at the idea here of pursuing or preparation. We looked at the particulars of it. But I want us to look at the path, because I believe it's this path that we need to be on every day of our heart beat and every day of our lives if we're going to fulfill what God would have us to do. When you looked at here at verse number 12, as I asked earlier, what does it mean to love life? Verse number 10, for they that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. He's given us here the particulars, but I believe there's a path that we need to be in submission to God and his will and behavior in a certain way, that we realize that we may seek peace or by seeking it, we don't have war. But I believe here to have good days describes and it means that there are not necessarily days free from problems, because every day we're going to be challenged with these areas that we just talked about. And that doesn't mean that it's not a good day. It just means that we're not behaving the way that we ought to. And when everything is going well, doesn't mean that it's always a good day. I want us to look at something that Peter shows us here. Let's take our Bibles. Let's turn over to Psalms chapter number 34. Psalms chapter 34. If you go back here and look at all that Peter is writing about, the whole gist of where Peter is referring back to, we find it in Psalms 34. And let me say this before I forget it. I probably won't. If you think that you're having a bad day, you need to go and read Psalms 34. Notice what it says here, because as we said, it's not necessarily a good day when we're free from problems. The psalmist wrote about the things that happen in our daily life. Notice, first of all, in verse number, well, let's read verse 1 here to down to verse, maybe verse 7. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I have sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. You know, there's going to be some days that we're going to have some fears in our lives. And it's a daily thing. Notice not only there are some fears in our lives, but notice there are some troubles in our lives. Look at verse number 6. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. There's going to be some troubling times in our lives every day. Look at verse 17. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth him out of all of their troubles. So the righteous person, those of us who are Christians, God will deliver us out of our troubles, because that's what good days that he's talking about here describe, and that's what they mean. And not necessarily they're free from everything, but God will deliver us out of troubles when we have troubles in our days. Notice not only we see fears and troubles, but notice the afflictions that happen in all our lives. Look at verse number 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord deliver him out of all of them. So we're going to have some afflictions. There's going to be, the devil knows exactly what little button to push or how to jab you in your life every day. He knows what little thing to do that's going to get you all in uproar. And he's going to afflict you with some things. But you know what? We got to respond in a way that sometimes is pleasing to God, the way that we behave. And don't give the devil, don't give him the honor, don't give him the glory, but give God the honor and the glory. Amen? Because if you do and act a certain way when you're afflicted with issues, somebody just kind of rubs you the wrong way, because it's going to happen. It's going to happen. And again, as we're saying, these are some things that are daily that happen in our lives. Even the brokenhearted. Some of us are going to have some disappointments. We're going to be brokenhearted about something. Look at verse number 18. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. Aren't you glad that he's nigh unto you, that those have a broken heart, because you've been disappointed by something, by someone in your life? God is still near to us. And what a blessing when you think about God is still near, even when your heart's broken, and save such as be of a contrite spirit. So again, good days. A good day for the believer is a believer who loves life, is not one which is pampered and sheltered. You know, if everything goes the way that you want it to go, you're not going to grow much as a Christian. You're not going to grow. Growth takes place when trials come. That's how God grows us. Because he's doing something in our lives when he brings us through some things so that he can better prepare us for something else down the road. And God is using those things in our lives to be a blessing to someone down the road in our lives, because God doesn't just let things just happen in our lives. God has a purpose and God has a plan. What we go through in our lives is preparation for the use of God. And you are going to be a blessing to someone, whether you believe it or not, and they will be a blessing to you. How many of you have been blessed because God brought somebody in your life who had gone through the same thing that you were going through? Many a times. I praise God for that. or somebody gives you that phone call or sends you that text at the right time or says that thing that you needed to hear that you've been wrestling with, that somebody is coming in your life because God knew exactly what you needed, where you needed, when you needed, how much of it that you needed. God brought that person or that thing in your life, and it was such a blessing. And God wants to do the same thing in your life. God wants to do the same thing in my life. You know what? And I can rejoice when I see how God blesses in our lives. And I want to say this, and it probably may be off the wall, but you know, one of the greatest blessings that I always think about is some of our senior saints who passed on out of this church. I think about some of the sweetest people I've ever met in my life were good senior Christian saints. I often think about Mrs. Hamlin's mother. Most of y'all probably never remember her. If you weren't here when we was in the storefront, you don't remember her. She was one of the sweetest Christian ladies that just loved God until God took her home. And I still think about her today. I still think about Isadora, how she loved God and what a blessing she was in my life to see how she went through the things that she went through. And she still loved God even until God took the last breath out of her life. I think about Miss Dorothy, and I think about her, and Miss Dorothy's thing was, but God. The only one that can do and take you through what you're going through and allow you to go through it is God, but God. And that was something I'll never forget that she would say. And I can't help but think of Rose's mother, who was such another godly saint and just love God. And I just love being around. I used to go visit Rose's grandmother just to be around. And she was so excited in her last few days. And she thought that I was blessing her, but she was blessing me. I remember when Teresa and I went and celebrated our 34th anniversary. We went the night before we left. We went by to see Rose's mother because we wanted to see her, just to talk to her. Because she was such a blessing in my life. See, that's what God gives us. God takes us through some things. And we can still be encouraged to know that good days are not necessarily when everything's going well. We need to see that God blesses. We need to see people that are encouraging us, even when they're not having good days, they're still a blessing. I look at the birthday girl back there. And she has been a blessing in my life ever since I met her. I remember when she had them two little beboppers with her over there in the what we call it, the little store next door to the storefront. What was it, Miss, what do you call it, the little, huh? The pet store. That's how Miss Reva had little Tony and Antoinette with her. And they started coming to the church. Amen. And she's just been a blessing just being Miss Reva. It's such a blessing. But those are the things that God gives us. Those are the people that God gives us. I can't but help but think about Miss, y'all say you're just pointing out all these, but some of the younger people have been a blessing. But Miss Carlene, just another one, just loves God. And just such a blessing. And you say, are you built? No, I'm just trying to get you to see that when we go through things and see all of the things that she goes through, that she's gone through, she still loves God. And there have been some bad days physically, but God is still good. Even when we're going through some things. And Peter said, those are daily things that we need to see in our lives, in our Christian life, because we need those things. And he takes us to the psalm. Let's look at some more things in Psalms 30. A day that and which are good days, and we're not being pampered, we're not being sheltered, but one in which he experiences God's goodness, his blessings, his help because of life's problems and trials. Look at verse number 1. He says here, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. Magnify the Lord. Notice the experience that we're going to experience answer to prayer. Look at verse number 4. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me out of all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles, because God answered prayer. Oh, taste and see in verse number 8, and see that the Lord is good. Bless the man that trusted in him. Taste God and see that he's good, because he is good. Sense the nearness of God. Look at verse 18. Because he's near, the Lord is near unto them that are of a broken heart. I don't tell you nothing else. Whenever something's going on, we can still sense the presence of God in our lives if we look for it. Because he's still there. He hasn't changed. We can change our position, but God never changes his position. He's always near, no matter what we're going through. God is always near. Let me say this tonight, saints, and we'll probably end it with this tonight. I want it to be short. Don't want it to be too long. And we're going to pick it up here, hopefully. I get to preach next Sunday night. Amen. So y'all come back for a reprieve. Amen. When you're having a hard time, you know, I still find one of the greatest blessings in all the world to find comfort is the Word of God. I don't think it's by accident that Peter, in his writing and all of the things that he's saying in this area that we just looked at, he's referring back to Psalms 34. Maybe he can give us a clue tonight. When we're going through some things and we want to be encouraged, the Psalms is always somewhere that we can go and we can find some refuge, and it's in God's word. And it's the daily things that we're going to face in our Christian life that we need to ensue, or we need to seek after. We need to pursue it in such a way we put forth some effort, because when we do, God is going to bless. Because God wants us to be a blessing so that we can receive a blessing. And if nothing else happens in your life as a Christian, be a blessing to somebody else. Because when you be a blessing to somebody else, unless your blesser is off cue, they're going to bless you just because you were a blessing to them. And I found that most of the time, when you think that you're blessing somebody else, or they think that you're blessing them, really, they're blessing you. They really are. They're a blessing to you because God is blessing in their lives. See, that's how we counter evil for evil and railing for railing. They might not treat me right all the time, but you know what? God wants me to treat them the way that he did. And I tell you, I pull into stores. We driving on the highway. And we go places sometimes. And you see some of the most unusual people walk into the store or in the car or on the side of the road or at your job or whatever. And you look at them. You know what? Sometimes we need to tell ourselves as Christians, God loves them. He really does. In North Carolina, Brother Hall, know what? You can see some of the most backwards people that we think in the world, but you know what? God loves them. You know that Christ died for them as well as he died for you. And God loves them just as much as he loved you. Aren't you glad that he does? And see, God wants us to love them. God wants us to be a blessing. Let's take time this week and seek out opportunities that we can be a blessing to somebody, because good days are not always when we're sheltered. Good days are when we do the right things through the things that life brings to us every day. And we need to behave in such a way that is pleasing to God. Peter is writing here because there are day-to-day, daily things that happen in the Christian life every day. And he says, finally, I get to write about these things. Let us love life and see good days. The good days when we realize the nearness of God, the blessings of God, the answers to prayer. Because he gives them to us. We can get so caught up in the world that we don't hear, see, nor sense the presence of God. But he's always there. Aren't you glad? Submission. Continue to be submissive, even in the trials and the testings that we go through. We still need to be submissive to God. And he will bless. Heads bowed and eyes are closed. No one looking around. Miss Natasha, you come and play something. Maybe someone wants to come and ask God to do something in their lives tonight. The altar is going to be open. And maybe we just need to come to prayer and ask God to help us to realize what we have in Jesus Christ. Let's all stand at our feet. And Miss Natasha, will you play a hymn of invitation?